Buddy, you are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. My name is Tim Tompkins. In the studio today with me, I have Dr. Mills, who's coming on the show again. It's so nice to have you back, Dr. Mills. He is a primary care and sports medicine doctor with St. Vincent's, and the show is all about you. Phone lines are always open. The number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. We're going to be discussing sports medicine and the importance of a patient and primary care doctor relationship and preventative medicine. Dr. Mills, thank you so much for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so talk to me a little bit about a day in the life as a sports medicine doctor.
Well, you know, pretty much sports medicine can either encompass surgical or non-surgical, and I'm a non-surgical sports medicine physician. So basically, I'd be one of the doctors you see on the sidelines of a, you know, football game or basketball game. And pretty much what it is you come in for a, you know, your knee hurts, your shoulder hurts, would evaluate you, figure out a game plan to, get diagnostics, figure out exactly what the best game plan would be to treat it. And if you needed surgery, I tend to see one of my buddies who's a orthopedic surgeon. But if it was something else, we needed to do injections or procedures, then I would do that.
Okay, it's getting warm outside. People are playing outside a bit more. People are going to be outside. They're going to be swimming, a whole lot of tennis, a whole lot of basketball now, especially now because it's just so nice. It's not too hot yet. Are there specific injuries that you're seeing this time of year over other injuries?
Well, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people running quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So we will notice maybe, you know, if you're not stretching correctly or you're not warming up and cooling down, you know, shin splints. We always see a lot of plantar fasciitis, which isn't always necessarily related to sports, but we see that quite a bit as well. But it depends on what you're doing, because I see a lot of CrossFit athletes, and so we may have some shoulder injuries, knee injuries, but, you know, that there's it runs the merit of everything going on right now.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about shoes.
Shoes are very important. You know, the key with the shoes is to making sure you have the proper shoes on, as well as making sure that you get new shoes often enough, because that's one thing we don't forget about. So you may get a really nice pair of shoes, but forget how long you've had them on or how long you've been wearing them, because... And sometimes, you know, a good rule of thumb, maybe get new shoes every 6 months. But if you're putting a lot of miles on it, it may need to be, you know, more often than that. But that's the key, because if you're wearing shoes that are, you know, starting to wear down, it can definitely cause a change in how you're running and your gait pattern, and that can cause injuries.
And what does a good fit feel like? You know, I'm going to the shoe store, I'm picking out a new pair of shoes, and I put them on. I'm like, yeah, these seem comfortable. People told me you're supposed to get your running shoes a half size too big. What do people need to be looking for when they're trying them on?
You know, a good rule of thumb really is to go to one of the, it's always easy to go to like Foot Locker or one of the stores, but if you really want to go and figure out what kind of shoes and the best fit or how it's supposed to feel, I would go to a running store or someone where they can actually fit you and then put you on a treadmill and kind of get you so you can kind of see how this really should feel. Because, you know, if you've been wearing shoes that don't fit correctly for a long time, you think that's how they're supposed to feel. Mm-hmm. So when you go and they show you kind of how your gait pattern is, or what shoes would work best for you for the way your foot, the anatomy of your foot, that's when you kind of know.
All right. And you are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKB. I have Dr. Mills here in the studio with me. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. Tendonitis, really popular. Know a lot of people getting it. How do you avoid that?
Sometimes it's hard because it really depends on what you're doing and what's causing it. I mean, and the problem is tendonitis can happen in tons of different areas. So, you know, a lot of people will get like patellar tendonitis or what we call jumper's knee. You can have it in other areas. You get it in the shoulder, you get biceps tendonitis. So it depends on where it's happening. But the problem is it's just caused typically due to inflammation, and sometimes due to overuse. So the main thing to do is to make sure that you're warming up properly. You have the proper technique when you're doing certain things, that you cool down correctly as well. But sometimes it's just the nature of what you're doing. So if you're doing a lot of repetitive motions, a lot of repetitive jumping, you're doing plyometrics, easy for these things to happen. The key really is to, you know, listen to your body. And if you start to notice you're developing a lot of these problems, to try to back off those activities for a while, make sure you're icing them and take a rest. Because what you don't want to do is end up having a tear, because that can be more permanent and cause, then you may even have to have surgery or you have to be off a lot longer. So tendonitis itself may just cause you just a momentary, you know, just take a little break, and it could get a lot better. But if it gets to a point where you're just continuing to, you know, try to exercise and you're still beating up that joint where the tendon's really inflamed, then it can become a tear, and that's a problem.
Someone has tendonitis, let's say, in their knee. And they're supposed to stay away from certain workouts. Are there any workouts that they're allowed to do or that they can be doing instead? Or, how do they know when it's safe to get back on the treadmill, for example?
You know, I always tell people to let pain be your guide, because if you're doing things and it's still hurting, then it's probably a good idea that it's probably not time yet. But there's a lot of different activities. So if you have, like we said, patellar tendonitis, so you're having a lot of problems with your knee, and running bothers you, jump on the elliptical machine, because typically that's low impact and that shouldn't cause a lot of problems. Or you can do, if that doesn't work, try the stationary bike. But there's always a lot of different activities that you can do. But, what I wouldn't do is, like, if you have patellar tendonitis, jump on the Stairmaster, because that's going to cause problems.
Okay.
So
be smart about it. Completely understand that. I hear a lot of people that they enjoy the treadmill and they just want to get back on it as soon as humanly possible. You talked about the importance of warming up properly. Were you referring to stretching?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So it's a good idea to definitely start to stretch. And, we did a lot of that when we were in, high school or middle school or even college and you played sports. But sometimes we forget to do that, when we're just trying to work out. But it's very important to kind of warm your muscles and your joints up and tendons up, so you don't end up injuring yourself. Because, for example, if you just don't warm up and then you try to go for a full sprint, you're more likely to, injure yourself versus if you kind of warm up, get your muscles, joints, warm, much better outcomes typically. So it's definitely a very good idea to do that.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. We have Jim over in Arlington. Jim, you are live on Ask the Doctor. I have Dr. Melson there in the studio. What can we do for you?
Hey, Doc. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good, sir. How are you?
Okay. In January, I went through surgery, and I had completely ripped a tendon off my left shoulder, and they had to put it back together. And we're still looking at the right shoulder as partial tear tendons and everything. But all this time, I've been noticing that this seems to be a lot more common than I thought it was. And I've run into a lot of friends and everything that have the same restrictions on movements that I had, but don't have the medical insurance to find out, what is the best thing for somebody to do if they have a partial tear, as far as any kind of exercises and stuff like that to help them get back on track?
Jim, depending on where the tear is, but say, for example, with you with your shoulder, the best thing you want to do is, obviously, you if you can, without causing any more problems, you want to strengthen the muscles around it. So you want to strengthen the shoulder girdle muscles, because those will definitely help. So strengthening the muscles around the tendon definitely helps to protect it. If you can do that without causing more injury, that is, or more pain. But sometimes the problem is, sometimes the tendons don't get a lot of good blood flow to them. So it's pretty much, sometimes they don't heal, they won't heal without surgery. But the good thing is, if they're only partially torn, they might not require surgery. So you kind of just have to be careful. But if you definitely strengthen the muscle around it, that always helps.
So it's like my therapy I'm going to with a light workout and everything to slowly build me back up.
Exactly.
Okay. So the best advice I can tell people when they complain about their shoulders hurting and everything is to do light workouts.
Yeah, and again, let pain be their guide, because sometimes it's hard to tell what exactly is going on, because you could have a rotator cuff injury, a rotator cuff tear. So it may not even be torn. It could be just inflamed. So there's a lot of different things that can go on. And obviously, hopefully, they were able to get some insurance at some point. But if it continues to bother them, they really need to go see a sports medicine physician so they can take a look at it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Hey, you too, Jim. Thanks so much for the phone call. And again, the phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. You're listening to Ask the Doctor, brought to you by St. Vincent's. As a runner, what steps should I be taking to ensure the health of my feet and ankles before a big run?
Again, you want to make sure you're stretching properly. Make sure you're wearing the proper shoes, because, again, like we talked about earlier, that's very important. But you just want to make sure that that you're taking care of yourself, that you're not putting too many miles on, prior to the race, because you don't want to break down, obviously, during the race. But that's key. You just got to make sure you're training properly, and also proper nutrition, because I know we talk a lot about, stretching and everything else, but if you're not putting the proper nutrients into your body, you're more likely to have problems anyway. So you want to make sure that you're, eating well, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water, because all those things go to help as well.
Let's talk about proper nutrition a little bit. We talked about it the last time you were on the show a couple of months ago. And, you know, there's all these different fads for staying healthy and yada, yada. And we'll possibly get into those on the show if we have time. But I'm getting ready to go play a basketball game in a rec league or whatever it might be. What should I be doing ahead of that physical exertion? What kind of foods, protein should I be having? How long before? Is there too much hydration, too much water I can be drinking beforehand that could cramp me up during the physical activity?
You know, typically, I mean, you can drink too much water. I mean, there's a thing this definitely happens. But you have to be drinking excessive amounts of water for that to happen. Because what happens when you do that, you can lower your sodium level and that can become problematic. But I mean, that's an excessive amount, not a normal amount of water that you'd be drinking. So you definitely want to prehydrate. And that's very, very important, especially if you're going to be outside and when it's really hot or even in a hot gym, because you're going to be perspiring quite a bit and it's going to be very easy for you to become dehydrated. And that's when you start to have cramping and other issues. As far as just nutrition, you want to make sure that you're eating a proper amount of protein and carbs. And it's really no special diet that you have to be doing unless you're doing a lot of high endurance activities. Just going to play basketball and working out typically aren't going to require anything, you know, above and beyond eating a proper, you know, a properly balanced diet, really.
What's really popular with a lot of people are the pre-workout drinks and, you know, they give you a whole bunch of energy for your workout. Are those good for you? Because I got to be honest with you, when I take them, I feel like running through a wall.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those have some different, and it depends on which one you're using, but a lot of them have some different caffeine type derivative in them. So sometimes you gotta be careful depending on what kind of medical problems you have, high blood pressure, hypertension, if you have some different, you know, any kind of cardiac issues. So you have to be careful with what you're actually taking. So if you ever have any questions about that, it's always a good thing to ask your doctor beforehand just to make sure, you know, this isn't going to cause any problems with any medications you're on or any conditions you may have. But overall, typically, they're fairly safe.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. But you do have to be careful because, again, you don't always know, you know, you didn't know what you're ingesting.
Right. I got you. And you are listening to Ask the Doctor. We do have Gregory here on the phone lines, but that cue music means we got to go to a break. So, Gregory, hold on. As soon as we get back from the break, we'll get to your call. I promise. Stay with us. Right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Mills here in the studio with me. He is a primary care and sports medicine doctor with St. Vincent's. And the show's all about you. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. And let's go straight to the phones. Gregory over on the south side, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to ask a question about running. I'm a pretty seasoned runner, you know, for the past couple of years. And I ran my first half marathon back in on January 4th. The weather was really bad for this race, but I experienced a very bad injury after the race. You know, I was able to complete it, but after the race, I was for the next couple of weeks afterward, my left knee was very injured. I could not run anything like I used to be able to. And I was just trying to find out, you know, is this I guess it sounds like a pretty common injury, but I thought I covered every aspect of preparing for a half marathon, you know, getting the mileage in previously. And I just can't figure out how I injured myself as bad as I did. So is there any advice you may have on that?
Well, Rick, real quick, did anything happen during the race or did your knee just start to hurt? Was there any, did you twist your knee? Did anything happen at all?
No, I mean, I ran the race a little bit slower than I was hoping to, but the race went fine. It was the day immediately after.
Okay, great. Did you have any swelling afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. Most likely it was just due to a buildup of, you probably just got severe inflammation. And it's hard to know if you've actually if you tore anything, if there was any kind of cartilage damage or anything. Have you had any problems with the knee previously?
No, this has never happened before. Okay. And I just ran the Gate River Run back in March. You know, from January until February, I was out of it, but I ran the Gate and did fairly well, so I was able to recover from it. But I was just trying to figure out, you know, what kind of injury this might have been, or you know, how to prevent it.
The problem is I'm not sure you could prevent it, because I think what happened is I think you just had some severe inflammation of the knee itself after probably just from the mileage. And it just might have been just a cumulative effect and wouldn't quite bother you. It may have been a tiny bit sore, wouldn't bother you at all until you completed the marathon. And then next thing you know, it just starts to really get inflamed and it, you know, gets swollen. And then you just have pain for a while. And then that's kind of, you know, the inflammation just takes time for it to go away before it's not symptomatic. And then you can kind of start going again.
Right.
But I think you probably did the right thing with training and everything. It's just sometimes putting all these miles on your body, it can be rough, especially because a lot of times we're running outside on concrete and asphalt, and those are really hard surfaces. There's not a lot of give with those, so it's a lot of impact on your body, on your ankles, on your knees. So that can just really happen just in general.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I probably, if it just ever happens again, I'll go and get an X-ray or something. But you know, it just kind of befuddled me.
Completely understand.
So thanks for your advice.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the phone call, Greg. Phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, Dr. Mills, is how does somebody know when they hurt themselves doing whatever they were doing, and how do they know when they need to go see a physician, when they need to go get an X-ray?
You know, what I would tell them is if it's persistent, you know, because you can injure yourself or have a minor injury, and, you know, depending on what you've done, obviously, but within a week or so, it should start to get better. If you're noticing, like, it's been a month, 2 months, and this is not getting any better, or even it's been a couple weeks and it continues to get worse, you continue to have persistent swelling, pain, you know, you probably need to get looked at, because at that point, maybe you've done something more serious that, you know, just resting in ice, maybe anti-inflammatories may not do it with, you know, because if you do those things for a few weeks and it's still getting worse or still continuing to bother you, there may be something more serious going on where X-rays, even possibly MRIs may need to be done.
How do you know if it's a jammed finger or a broken finger, apart from a bone protruding, making it super obvious?
Sometimes you may not. I mean, these are things where sometimes they're very subtle and dependent, because fractures can be very, sometimes they look, it may look just like, you know, a jammed finger. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's hard to tell, because you may have just as much pain and inflammation with a jam as you would with a break.
Yeah, they can hurt. But we do have lots of time coming up. Stay with us at Q Music. Means I got to go. But I will be back. Stephanie and Virginia, I see on the line. As soon as we get back from breaking down your news, traffic, and weather, we'll come straight to you. Stay with us. The doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. My name is Tim Tompkins, and every single Saturday at 2 o'clock, you can have your health questions answered. The show is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. Phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. And this week, we have friend of the program on all the way from St. Vincent's, Dr. Mills. He is a primary care and sports medicine doctor. And let's go ahead and go straight to the phone line. Stephanie, thank you so much for waiting. We appreciate you. What can we do for you today? Stephanie? All right. Well, thanks for holding. Again, I'm going to put you back on hold. Let's go ahead and go over to Virginia. Virginia, you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
Good afternoon. I have Achilles tendonitis, and actually it's chronic. I've had it for about 2 years. I had a dental procedure done, and the dentist gave me Cipro. I'm 73 years old, and I ended up with Achilles tendonitis. I've had a round of physical therapy, which helped a little bit at the time, but, you know, I'm afraid, and it's constant. I mean, I can't sit down and then stand up without having severe pain in this area. Is there anything at all that can be done about this?
Virginia, have they done an MRI to make sure you don't have any, that there's not a tear as well?
No, I haven't had an MRI. I saw a podiatrist, and she said that, you know, that it's Achilles tendonitis. There's not anything that I can really do except physical therapy.
Now, physical therapy can help, but because it's not getting a lot better, it might be a good idea for them to obtain an MRI just to make sure there's not a partial, because you can have a tear without it being completely torn. It can be a partial thickness tear, what we see.
Uh-huh.
And if that's the case, that might be a problem. That could be causing problems. Another thing they may do is sometimes injections, I know it doesn't sound very pleasant, but sometimes injections, and you can't do a lot of those, but those can sometimes help.
Well, she told me that, you know, I thought possibly a steroid injection. She told me that would be actually worse, because I could end up having it just tear completely.
Right. But since we're not sure whether it's torn or not, I think the first step would probably to get an MRI just to make sure.
Okay. And what group are you with, please?
St. Vincent's Primary Care.
All right.
And what you could do if, not saying anything's wrong with your podiatrist, but if she doesn't want to get an MRI, or he or she doesn't want to get an MRI, you might go see one of the orthopedic foot and ankle guys or another podiatrist just to see if they can get an MRI. Because I think at this point, because it's bothering you so much and you've been through physical therapy, that'd probably be my next move.
My primary physician would gladly order an MRI.
Yeah, that'd probably be a great idea.
Since he was a resident.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the phone call, Virginia.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and try Stephanie one more time. Stephanie, are you on the line?
Yes.
Hey, what can we do for you?
I have this pain that goes from my, I guess you call it my femur. It goes from my femur to almost down my knee on my right side there. And I notice that sometimes it seems to be worse whenever the weather is damp. But it hits me like really hard when I get up in the mornings, or just sometimes I'll just stand up and I almost buckle over, and I'm just wondering what in the world is causing that. It just seemed to have come on like within the last month.
So it starts at your knee, and how far does it go down on your shin?
It goes from the top of my knee up to my femur bone.
Okay,
it's like my femur.
It got you up in your quad. I'm not sure what's causing that, to be honest with you. Has your knee been swollen at all?
No, my knee doesn't seem to be affected. It's just that bone that goes.
Are you having any like numbness, tingling, or pain in that area?
No, just once in a while. It just hits me so hard. I just feel like I'm going to fall. I think, oh my Lord, I don't need to break a hip.
But it feels like your knee or the actual thigh itself hurts.
Yeah, the bone, not my knee. Just the bone above my knee, from my about 3 or 4 inches above my knee to my femur.
Okay, so you might need to go talk to your. You may have your doctor get an X-ray just to make sure there's nothing going on with the femur itself.
Okay.
Because it's, without having any injury, it's kind of hard to say exactly what's going on. But I think the best course of action would be to get an X-ray just to make sure there are no bony changes going on.
Okay.
What, Dr. Mills, what kind of doctor?
She could even see her primary care doctor initially just to tell him she's having some, pain in her thigh. Mm-hmm. And they could just order a X-ray of maybe look at her hip and pelvis along with the, her femur, just to make sure that there's no, any kind of fractures or stress fracture, anything else is going on. Because without having any kind of injury, we got to figure out why she's having so much pain in that area. Because that's just not a normal area. You should be having a lot of pain unless it was coming from your low back or something else. So you kind of want to get to the bottom of why you're having this random pain in that area.
Right. So this could be a cause for concern, something she needs to.
Yeah, I would definitely have it addressed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that information. I'll definitely follow up on that then. Thank
Very
you.
Welcome.
All right, thanks so much for the phone call. We appreciate that, Stephanie. And talk to you a little bit about concussions. Super common. They happen to a lot of people. How do you know when you're healed from a concussion?
Oh, when you're healed. Mm-hmm. When you're healed from a concussion, it's typically going to be when you're asymptomatic. So no more headaches, no issues with memory. You're not having any nausea anymore. No visual issues. So typically when you're completely back to your baseline, that's when you know you're healed for the most part. That's pretty much when you know.
We talked a little bit about jammed fingers earlier. You get a jammed finger and it hurts. Let's say you got a football game coming up.
Right.
How do you know when it's okay to play again? When is it? Should you just avoid it completely? Or like, what do you do in that case?
For the jammed finger, you can tape it, and unless it's really bad. You still have movement of the joint. You're probably in pretty good shape. If you're concerned, it's broken, obviously. You definitely need to get an X-ray just to make sure. But even without being broken, the jam finger, I used to get them all the time because I played a lot of basketball.
And yeah, super common
all
basketball.
The time, right. It just can, it just can be swollen and inflamed for a while, and eventually it'll go down. But if you're concerned, because depending on where it's broken, that could be a problem. If it is broken, depending on where it's broken, sometimes you need to even have surgery. So you got to be careful on, and you don't want to wait too long. So if you possibly broke it, you don't want to wait, 2 months to go have it looked at, because at that point it's probably already healed. And if it's healed incorrectly, then you have to go through another procedure just to even get it to, you know, to back to its normal alignment.
So when would be a good time to go see somebody after? It's been, let's say, 3 weeks, and this jammed finger is still really hurting. Is that cause for concern?
That's when I'd probably go say, let's at least get an x-ray just to make sure.
And you are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. Dr. Mills, you're a primary care physician yourself. And how does having a primary care physician help make for better preventative care?
You know, it helps just because the primary care physician is almost like you're the quarterback of the football team. They kind of know exactly what's going on. So why they may have some other specialists who are basically in tune and basically concentrating on certain other aspects of your health, your primary care physician is kind of overlooking everything. And on top of that, they're making sure you're getting some of these preventative maintenance or preventive screening tests done that you should do on a, you know, well, not necessarily an annual basis, depending on your age, but, you know, someone may be every 10 years, some may be every 5 years, but depending on what we're talking about. But the primary care doctor would definitely be doing that, making sure you're up to date in immunizations, make sure you had a colonoscopy or mammograms, make sure you're getting your, you know, your PSAs. And some of these tests are somewhat controversial depending on what, but making sure you're getting some of these things done, because otherwise your specialists aren't really keeping track of those things. You know, they're, again, like if you have a problem, like say you have a heart condition and atrial fibrillation, your cardiologist is keeping, you know, they're keeping a close eye on that, but they're not really necessarily worried about your blood sugars per se, you know, mm-hmm. or your thyroid, and certain things they may be looking at just because they're monitoring those. But overall, you know, your primary care physician will be kind of taking a look at your overall health versus just certain body parts or certain organs.
Right. And they're able to see changes maybe easier than another kind of doctor was, because that other doctor hadn't seen it before.
Exactly.
I saw a study that said that 1 in 3 people under the age of 29 has a primary care physician. That means that 2 out of 3 don't. Why should young people begin seeing one? It's like voting. For some reason, millennials just don't do it.
Well, it's just that it's millennials and males. We typically just don't
and
like
males?
To go to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah, males.
Yeah,
we just
mean,
don't
women
go to the,
do.
Yeah, we just don't go to the doctor a lot. It's because if we feel well, we feel like we don't really need to go to the doctor. But some of these things, you can feel really well and there could be a problem. So you want to, especially after age about, you know, in your 20s, especially if you get out of college, I mean, at least once a year, you probably should go see your primary care physician or your gynecologist to make sure that you're at least up to date and they're screening for diabetes and, you know, thyroid disease, looking at your liver function, kidney function, checking your blood pressure. Because some of these things you feel fine and would have no idea anything's wrong unless we get some of these tests done.
Right.
So it's just a good idea. Just like you would do normal maintenance on your car, you should do normal maintenance on your body, even if you're feeling well.
Sure. Absolutely. And the phone lines are open. It looks like we have about another 10 minutes or so where we can get in another question. If you have a question for Dr. Mills, the number to call is 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. Is there a lot of people, their marathons are really, really popular here in Jax, Gate River Run, ton of people do them. Is there a weight that if people are over, it's just not healthy to be running, or are they probably okay?
They probably should be okay. And the reason I say that is if you're getting to the point where you're able to run 10 miles, you've been training up to this point. So it'd be very unlikely and very unwise for you to not be training and go out trying to run, you know, 9.3 miles for the gate or do a half marathon or a marathon. So because you've been steadily training, you should be you shouldn't have any more problems necessarily than someone who's thinner. And I think exercise and running is great. Obviously, some of this is going to depend on if you have any underlying problems, like with your knees or your hips or your ankles, because no matter what your weight, if you have those problems, you know, running long distances may be an issue. But I see no issue with that. You know, with no matter what your weight, getting out and trying to run and exercise, as long as it's not causing you other, you know, physical ailments.
Right, I got you. So let's say someone breaks their foot and they want to go out there and have to run. You know, when can you run again after you've broken a foot?
Well, it's going to take you at least 4 to 6 weeks for it to heal, first of all.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you give it to that point. And obviously, if you've broken something, you should be following up with your doctor. So they should be able to see when it's healed correctly and everything. Because if you go back too early, you're likely to re-break it and cause another injury. So you definitely don't want to do that. So, you know, once it looks like it's healed, you know, from a from an x-ray standpoint, as well as you're not having any symptoms, then it's probably pretty safe to go back. But it's going to take you at least, I mean, you're looking at least, you know, probably 6 to 8 weeks probably before you're back and running completely.
Is that with all breaks? Is that including stress fractures as well?
Pretty much, because it's going to take a while for these. Stress fractures are a little bit different because they're a lot more subtle. But you do, it typically takes about 4 to 6 weeks for bones to heal in general.
What does a stress fracture feel like?
You're probably just going to have a lot, and stress fractures can be, you know, in the feet. We see them a lot in the shins, obviously, from a lot of running and stuff. But it's just you may have a lot of persistent pain with weight bearing.
Okay, I got you. And we do have a little bit more time coming up. So if you have a question for Dr. Mills, 904-340-1045 is the number. Stay with us. Right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Mills here in the studio with me, and we are discussing sports medicine and the importance of patient primary care, doctor relationships, and preventative medicine. The show's all about you. It's brought to you by St. Vincent. So let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. We have Mike over in Fleming Island. Mike, what is on your mind?
Yes, this is Mike. I'm 62 years old, and I tore my meniscus. And my orthopedic, I went through the rounds of therapy and everything, and it's better, but I really can't play golf. I can't play golf or can't do any of the things I used to do. He said I could scope it, but then I saw Sam Kavaras with the stem cell thing. Is that something that a 62-year-old should pursue, or just get it scoped and do as well as I can?
You know, there's not a – I don't think there's an issue if you want to go try the stem cell or PRP because it may actually help. The problem with the meniscus, and I'm sure the orthopedic surgeon told you that, depending on where it's torn, there's not a lot of good blood flow to it, so that's why it really doesn't heal very well a lot of times. And so therapy helps sometimes, but if it's torn, it's torn. And so sometimes there's not a lot to do. But if you wanted to go that route before you try to do before you go get a scope, there's no issue with that. Because once you get it scoped and they trim it down, there's no turning back from that. So if you want to, try that route first, the only problem is typically insurance won't cover it. Which is why, they're not doing more of it at this point, but it's definitely worth a try. And then if that doesn't work very well, then you go get a scope.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Hey, appreciate that phone call, Mike. Dr. Mills, tell me a little bit about your practice. Where are you guys located?
Well, we're over off of Gate Parkway, right around the corner from St. Vincent's, Southside, in the Gate, and Belfort. And I do primary care and sports medicine. So see patients pretty much of all ages, pretty much kids 5 and up. So just have a good time in the office. I love seeing patients and love talking about sports medicine stuff along with primary care issues, obviously. And just like taking care of patients.
Do people need to be referred to see you?
No, typically no. They can just call the office and my staff will take care of them.
Okay. And that phone number to reach you, Dr. Mills, is 904-400-6500. Again, that's 904-400-6500. What kind of screenings can people see a primary care doctor for?
Screening for depression. You can see them screening we do a lot of prostate cancer screening. We'll do things for colon cancer as well. Now, typically for the colonoscopy itself, we'd send you to see the gastroenterologist or the stomach doctor. But there's, breast cancer screening. So a lot of different screenings that you can actually have done.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, and we kind of touched on this a couple of minutes ago, but it seems like they're just seeking convenience care. Why is that not the best way to approach your health?
You know, there's a place for that, for like going to urgent care centers, acute care centers, if you can't get into your primary. But the problem is, they don't really know you. So they're not able to kind of get a broad picture of what's going on with you. They don't always know all the medications, all your medical problems, because they're seeing you for, you're going for a sore throat or an earache or but it's always good to have a primary care doctor. Just so when you need referrals, if you need to go see somebody, if you're not sure exactly what to do, for some of the minor injuries or minor ailments, not such a big deal. But overall, it's a good idea to definitely have a primary care physician just so they can help you navigate through things.
Sure. We didn't have time to talk about it earlier on the show, but I want to talk about a little bit about shin splints. How do you avoid getting them?
You really have to make sure you're stretching properly, wearing proper shoes, and then you also have to make sure you're eating properly, the proper nutrition, and then you have to watch your mileage as well and on some of the surfaces you're running on. And you have to the main thing is to pay attention to your body. If you're noticing you're having a lot of recurrent shin pain, because people just don't go from having, from having just a little bit of pain to then a stress fracture, it starts just from a minor inflammation of the shin. So you may have like a little stress reaction. Then you get a little, then you get these shin splints and more pain. And next thing you know, if you keep running on these shin splints, then you can get a stress fracture. And that's what you definitely don't want, because that can prevent you from running for quite a while.
I got you. And should people be using ice or heat to heal that injury?
I tell, as a rule of thumb, if it's inflamed and painful, I use ice. If it's spasmed and tight, I use heat.
Okay.
So for that, I'd use ice.
Right, because I see those things in the stores all the time. There's, you know, the picture on the back of the box with the guy rubbing his back, and it's a heating pack, and then other people are telling me to put ice on it, and I've just never really known which one to do when.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because if you put heat on something that's already swollen, it's going to cause more swelling. So,
I got you. And yeah. You can reach Dr. Mills anytime you want. His phone number to his office is 904-400-6500. Again, that's 904-400-6500. Dr. Mills, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, we got news, traffic, and weather coming up next.